Hey-o! Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. Still waiting for Shane to show up. You know, you'd think if we did the same show every night, same time, for years and years and years, you'd think that bastard could show up on time. But, here we are. Mailbag. Even his favorite damn show. And he didn't have to do anything yesterday. He had the day off. But that's what it is. fire away with any questions you got, because we got a fun mailbag loaded up. Don't know where Shane is. He's probably back on the toilet. Most of the questions are directed to Shane, so I probably shouldn't even have started this damn thing without him. But you guys are sitting here patiently waiting, and I didn't want to leave you hanging anymore. So maybe he's watching basketball. I don't think so. He's not really into the basketball, so we can't use that as an excuse. Let's see if he's got an excuse. Let's see. Oh, he says computer issues. Didn't he have computer issues last time? How many times can we fall for the same bullshit? I don't know, but he's testing us, isn't he? So Shane's got a computer that doesn't work anymore, apparently. He could use his phone. He could use any number of the devices we've sent him over the years. But let's get into it. So, hey, good news here. I think this is potentially great news for not only the SEC, particularly the SEC, but all of college football. Because according to The Athletic, they just ran an interesting article where they are going to, it's not finalized, but they are going to meet and discuss, and they're moving towards this. They anticipate this will pass. Week zero will now be the first week of the season, potentially, if this passes in 2027. So, you know, we've had week zero for years and years and years, right? So it's fun because it's football. Rarely do we get SEC teams in there. But, oh, there he is. Speaking of week zero, where you been, buddy?
Would you believe working out?
No.
Meal prepping, stretching, yoga, any of that? I had computer issues, literally. I told you last time I gave up on the reboot. I get on here, apparently it wanted to reset last night. And yes, I waited till last minute, but I apologize because I'm here. Getting here is half the battle.
All right, so hey, listen to this. So they're considering, and this wouldn't be for this year because the schedule's already set, but in 27... looks like they're going to push forever. No more week zero. That'll be the first week of college football. So they're bumping it up a week for the very reason, Shane, that we have complained for many, many years. They want to guarantee that every team gets two byes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing to complain about that, is there?
No. But I hate to start a show like this, Mike, but it's the nickel and diamond that drives me freaking nuts, right? It's let's don't give them what they want. Let's give them some of what they want, right? We want to recalibrate this entire schedule, this entire college football machine, but we're not going to do it overnight. What we're going to do is in 27, we're going to give you a week. And then 28, we're going to have four more committees to talk about what we're going to do at 29. It just feels like we keep kicking this can. By the time they get this thing squared away, I'm going to be old, man. I'm going to be 85 years old in a nursing home somewhere.
No. As soon as they do this, it's permanent. It's not 1 year. It's permanent. No, week zero.
That's what I'm saying, Mike. But does it fix the overall calendar of college football? Let me ask you this, Mike. Is it great for college football to have two bye weeks? Absolutely, especially in the SEC, especially going to a 9-game schedule. But does it fix anything ultimately?
I mean, no.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, what are we doing? If we're going to change shit, let's change it. You know, let's don't change 10% of it. Let's go ahead and fix it.
Well, I mean, I'm not responsible for any of this, Shay, so I don't know why you're yelling at me, but I'm just happy that we're going to get two bye weeks, particularly in the SEC.
Yes.
Because, again, I mean, I hate to even say this, Shane.
Yeah.
But I've already said LSU's not making a playoff. I've already said Texas not making a playoff. Like, how many damn teams are making a playoff? And it wasn't that long ago. Hell, it was just two seasons ago, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Willie had three SEC teams make the playoff.
Yeah.
And I'm not guaranteeing that happens, but I think that's going to happen this year. With a nine-game SEC, with one bye, I bet you that happens.
Hmm. Mike says, change the shit, Mike. Like, damn. Like, don't you have the keys? Can't you fix this, Mike? I'm sorry. Came in a little hot, and I apologize. You're right. Hey, it's a blessing. We got a good thing here. Does it help our conference? Absolutely. We're going to need all the help we can get, it seems, you know, because we're going to keep beating each other up. So,
and, you know, all summer, what do? We just want football, right?
Yeah.
We're getting it a week earlier. I mean, how can you complain about that?
You're right. Okay, all right. I'm getting off the ledge, right? I just backed off Henley Street Bridge. I'm okay, Mike.
This is a great question. Shout out P5. Does the Big Ten play nine Big Ten games? Yes, but two things. We know the Big Ten's not as good as the SEC.
Yes.
Don't take our word for it. Take Josh Pate's. Go check it out, the interview. He said it himself. The SEC's still better. Top to bottom. But perhaps more importantly, Shane, while the Big Ten does play nine SEC, they don't have to play a power non-conference like the SEC does. So the SEC is again, making it more difficult on themselves. And this is a reason why I just said I think the SEC may only get three in. Because you got teams like Indiana that, yes, they got to play nine conference games, but they strategically went cupcakes, the rest of them.
Yes.
So it's more likely that they go a 10-2, 11-1 because they got the cupcakes.
Yeah.
And a weaker conference. And we've already seen this damn committee. They'll just pick whoever's got the best record.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not guaranteeing it, but I think we're going to get a lot of 9-3 this year in the SEC. And 11-1, 9-3. I know they're not we should not go based on that, but apparently they do. You know what?
And we all have that short term memory, right? Like, you can't remember 4 years ago, 5 years ago. What you remember is what happened last season and the year before. And I think what ultimately will hurt this conference, not just us playing each other, but when we do put teams in the playoffs, if they get absolutely embarrassed by a Big Ten team, by an ACC team, then all of a sudden they're saying, well, damn, maybe we should have let more ACC teams in. Maybe, you know, it's for us to sit here and say, hey, a 9-3 SEC team belongs in. If one does get in there, by God, they better win or it's not going to happen again. So I feel like the leash is getting a little bit shorter with these wins losses in this conference.
Yeah, and again, shout out P5. She said, what about Notre Dame? Remember, all they got to do is be top 12, right?
Yeah.
Some people are already putting them preseason like number one. This is who let's not put them number one. Let's say preseason top five.
Yeah.
Preseason top five Notre Dame.
Yeah.
All they got to do is be top 12, Shane. Uh-huh. Here's who they play this year. Wisconsin, Rice, Michigan State, Purdue, North Carolina, Stanford, BYU, Navy, Miami, Boston College, SMU, and Syracuse.
Too bad Scholars Bowl, you know, because they get their ass waxed. You know?
So about two good teams they got to play.
Yeah.
They could probably lose both, and they'll still be top 12. Or, hell, if they split them, they go 1-1 versus BYU and Miami. They're a lock.
Yeah, 10-2, Notre Dame gets in, right? Does a 9-3 LSU, pull it, if you get a second, pull up LSU, 9-3. If they go 9-3, do they get in?
They should, but they may not.
Exactly. But look at that schedule, man. Just remember, you were talking Purdue. You were talking Syracuse. You were talking North Carolina. We're talking Clemson, Ole Miss. These are top 25 teams, A&M, potentially Auburn, Alabama, Texas, Tennessee, all of those teams will be top 25, potentially top 25 when they play. I mean, how many top 25s is Notre Dame going to face? But we get to the end, they're going to say, hey, 10-2, Notre Dame deserves in. What would Lou Holtz do? You know?
Damn, luck of the Irish. I'll do it for Lou. You know that's coming. You know
it's coming. It's coming, right?
JP, shout out. He says, or the thought the SEC is trying to raise the strength of schedule so they can argue a 3-loss SEC is better than a 2-loss. I mean, they don't honor that.
No. Yeah. And we've been talking about that's the thing. Greg Sankey and company, well, it's not just us, not just that SEC podcast. Everyone's been talking about the strength of schedule, but brother, I don't think it matters anymore because again, it's the optics of what that win loss record is at the end of the season.
Oh, speaking of win,
Zach Schwinn. Swing.
Swing. Oh, shit. We appreciate you, buddy. What up, cousins? Long time no see. My fault. Entirely been working my ass off. 10-hour day. Sounds like Shane over here. 10-hour days and Saturdays to complete my project. I'm running. No time for YouTube. Just sleep. But today, back to normal schedule. And here I am with my whiskey hookup. Oh, did I tell you Shane Tech's going to win national championship? Did you hear?
Oh,
I changed my mind.
Hell yeah. Thank you, cuz. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for putting those hours in to keep the lights on over here at that SEC podcast. Yeah. Hey, I appreciate you. And yes, I do feel like, I mean, I'm not sugarcoating it. Mike knows it. We've talked about it. What's my team? Who's my number one coming into this thing? It should be no secret. We'll do the poll, especially at SEC Media Days. But unless something crazy happens, I'm going to have to go with them Texas Longhorns right now on top. This is their year. This is their season, Mike. Ooh. Oh, speaking of whiskey, though, have you been to Tennessee Legend?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Have you told the cousins about it today? Because I was 10 minutes late. I apologize.
No.
If you get a chance, swing over to Tennessee Legend Distillery. Let them know the cousin sent you. Not only are you going to get a discount, but you will also get a bonus gift. And I tell you, man, Sevier County is jumping. Dollywood is open for business, and people are coming in. So be sure to swing in there and let the cousins know we sent you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll go perfect with this. After alcohol aid, I'll tell you about it here in a minute. Hey, but shout out. Let's get into the mailbag, Shane.
Yes,
how about that? We got a fun mailbag, courtesy of PB.
Mm-hmm.
Great question here. Cousin Shane, if you could get a hair transplant from any movie star, who would you choose? And he even provided images here. So again, the question to you, Shane, if you could pick the hair of any movie star, who would you go? And I can't decide whether I like business Shane or party Shane. I mean, they both look like a good time to me.
Yeah, I think I'm going party, man. You know, you remember a couple of years ago, Georgia was a big one. I remember our boy down there wearing the mullet. I feel like as an offensive lineman, I miss that, right? My grandfather's real strict. We had to go with the high and tight, which sucks looking back now because I had an opportunity to grow hair like that, but I didn't. So I think I would go a little bit longer, at least one season of it, you know? Maybe don't cut it until the Vols win something important.
Brodo says he's calling you Shane Exotic. But again, the question is if you could, like, what movie star, or maybe not maybe like a character, like a Joe Dirt, or, you know, is there one that stands out to you where, like, I've always wanted that hair if I could have it?
Troy Polamalu. That's my boy. Yeah. How many Head and Shoulder commercials do I need to watch? In fact, I've had Head and Shoulders since I saw that commercial. My hair is not as nice as his, but that's probably the one I would go with. But I mean, like a blonde version of it, you know, something. I wouldn't go man bun. I just want to grow it out once. That's the thing for me, Mike. I would grow it out once. If I could grow a beard, I'd grow a beard out once, but I can't, you know? So,
I'm just... You're just not follically blessed.
Well, and you know, here, I've got hair, right? If I grow it out, I've got hair, but it's extremely thin. And I was joking with my wife just yesterday. I said, ironically, the only thin thing about me is my hair.
All right. Hey, how about shout out Cousin Thorhog?
Yeah.
Shane, he's an official cousin. Official cousins always get their questions answered. With us being right in the middle of March Madness, do we have any favorite moments or Cinderella teams just in the whole history of NCAA tournament? Do any stand out to you? And I got a couple here if you want to think about yours.
Yeah, yeah.
This ain't going to go over too well on the bluegrass, Shane, but what? I don't know why. I mean, I think I know why, but the year Kentucky went undefeated, Shane. That weren't they good? They were so good. Yeah. They were the favorites to win it all. They were whooping everybody's ass. John Calipari running his mouth. And they lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four. That was a classic game. One of the best memories I have of just how crazy the tournament can be. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Villanova, when they beat North Carolina at the buzzer, literally national championship game, walk-off three-pointer. I mean, that was wild. And then when I really started to get into NCAA tournament, I even looked up the year. Shane, UConn, the first year they won it. I was a big Rip Hamilton fan in 1999.
Yeah.
And that was my pick in before the bracket to win it. And then I also picked the following year, Shane, I picked Michigan State, Mateen Cleaves in 2000 to win it all. I don't think I've been able to pick a winner since then. But I picked back-to-back. I remember I picked the back-to-back winners in 99 and 2000.
Yeah, it's funny. I would gamble growing up on the games, of course, because it was just by chance, you know, doing brackets, things. One of the things we love to do, we orchestrated this at high school, which I don't, you know, I'm not recommending, but we would we'd get 64 people to put money in and we would draw teams, you know. So it was kind of like you were pulling for a Rhode Island all of a sudden, you know, a long shot. So I think about some of those games in the past, but ultimately, Mike, it was more of a heartbreak for me. It was like every time Tennessee lost, right? And I still have nightmares of what's his name, Big Edley, sitting down there just fouling everybody, you know, Purdue.
Man, I'm surprised I set you. I could have sworn you were going to go in this direction.
Yeah.
Shout out Jared. He says Shane's hair got all the metabolism. But no mention of Pat Summitt. That shocks me. 8 national championships, Tennessee. Oh,
well, I didn't talk female. Yeah, I should have. I don't know why I didn't include it.
I just watched the documentary. I highly recommend anybody. I think it was on Hulu. I watched it last night. It was outstanding. Just on her. A lot of stuff I didn't know about her, all the way back to her high school playing days.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, really good. I don't know when it came out, but it seemed fairly new because it was outstanding video quality. So even if you're not a Tennessee fan, I think you would appreciate this
Brother,
Pat Summitt documentary.
My grandfather absolutely loved Pat Summitt. And so, I mean, we naturally did. In fact, she's right over here. That's her. Everybody asks, that's my Pat head up there. And, you know, one of the things that I remember growing up was Pat would even mow her own lawn. I know it sounds crazy and dumb, you know, but could you see Lane Kiffin mowing his own lawn? Could you see, you know, Rick Pitino mowing his own lawn? No, but Pat out there with the snapper mowing her lawn. That's just who she was. And she changed college football. I remember real conversations year in, year out. Why can't Pat coach the boys too? That was real conversations we had here in Knoxville. And so yes, absolutely. We had some awesome runs. I'd like to get back.
Shane, they literally had to do bake sales to pay for stuff. And she said that the players had to bring their own shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine? I mean, it was just different time. You know what?
Different times. Now she'd been, golly, they gave her millions.
And hey, shout out Jared. Not only is he great with comments, Shane, he gave us $5. Appreciate you.
Hell cousin yeah. Jared. Thank you, cuz. Appreciate it. Sorry, I didn't mean about Lane Kiffin. I'm sure he'd mow his own lawn. But
hey, shout out because Jared just gave us a donation. Will Wade back
buddy.
To LSU, Shane.
Yes.
Do we have officially the most hated head coach ever?
Yes.
I think, without a doubt.
The three-headed monster there. Did you see the, there's a, somebody posted a photo, ChatGPT, and it was Lane Kiffin's face, Will Wade's body, and what's-her-name's outfit. It was the craziest damn photo I have seen. So, I mean, yes, if you're talking about the three coaches, basketball, football and women's basketball, there cannot be a more hated three than those, than that team.
And how about this, Shane? I mean, it wasn't that long ago. Remember the damn crazy governor came out here? We're broke. We can't pay people, yada, yada, yada. So this is from Pete Thamel, ESPN. He says, since that time, LSU's paid $190 million roughly, $54 million to buy out Brian Kelly. Now, they haven't paid all that yet, Brian Kelly, but they're paying it in installments. They had to buy out Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. That was $3 million. They're going to have to buy out this new this old basketball coach. That's $8 million. Will Wade buyout from NC State, $5 million. They just gave Kiffin a $91 million contract. Again, not all up front, but still. Will Wade, roughly, they're going to say $30 million. And then the new football roster, $40 million. So, they're just made a buddy down there in Louisiana, apparently.
Yeah, wait till you get them ticket prices. Oh, I'll tell you, they're going to get it somewhere down there. And I have a feeling the state of Louisiana is going to feel that more than anything. But you want to win, right? Don't you want to win? Absolutely. They're going out here. They're getting the names. And I am curious, which is crazier? Wade coming back, Hugh Freeze getting a second shot, or Petrino? Those three. Out of those three coaches getting an opportunity to come back to the SEC, which one, if you were power ranking, you're more surprised on? Who would be the number one spot?
Probably Petrino.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Will Wade did. Now everybody's doing it. It's legal.
Yeah.
I don't think crashing your motorcycle with a young student employee. I mean, that's still hard to believe they brought him back. You know what?
Yeah, I know. It just blows my mind. So just remember, when you leave, don't say anything too bad because you may be asked to come back at some point.
Any thoughts? I missed this. I watched the press conference. It was kind of boring, but I don't know. It just went over my head. Did you see Lane Kiffin said, expectations, pump the brakes, no expectations here, blah, blah. Are you buying any of that bullshit?
No. But that's what you got to sell in the offseason, right, is how good LSU is. I mean, he talked about all the legends that are down there, the coaching legends and blah, blah, blah. And you got to do that with your football team. But you don't want to get that bar too high, because if you've got your boys and girls down there expecting a college football playoffs and you don't hit it, then all of a sudden that ground gets a little shaky underneath you. And I'm not saying Lane Kiffin's going to get fired by no means, but I do think that his – demeanor, his charisma, the aura that floats around Coach Kiffin could simply dwindle away. It's about who's hot now. And you saw that with Indiana. You could see that real quick on the opposite with LSU.
I mean, I think anything less than 10 wins is a disappointment.
For sure. Lane said a lot of interesting things. You see him say, he was talking about the transfer windows. You know, he absolutely hated it. But now it's gone. He's like, it's not so bad, because you could build your team. It's like, which way you want it, Lane?
Hey, shout out. Shit, he's back. Shit.
Oh, shit. Thank you, cuz. I
guarantee you would never catch me dead talking shit in regards to Indiana basketball. Mm-mm. Good Lord. The suck is strong. I'd make a golf ball fly through a guardhouse. Okay. Well, thank you for the donation. Hey, all right. Let's move on, Shane. Official Cousin.
Yes.
Jeez Louise. Shout out Jeez Louise. I see him in the comments here. Wild man. He wants to know, will Cousin Shane and Marler fight?
Fight? Ooh. No. No.
And I started a rumor, Shane. I apologize. Yep. Someone said, hey, what happened to Marler Monday? I said, Shane fired his ass. And they thought it was serious. Did not fire Marler.
Yeah. No, I like Marler. I don't know why people think I don't like him. I think he's a great person. And I think his reach could go further sometimes if he'd stop getting in his own damn way. That's the main thing for me is he's like a kid. He's like my oldest son, you know. It's like, come on, man, you can't live here forever. You got, you know what I'm saying? And I see him making strides. Like you're seeing what he's doing down there at LSU. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, he's got all kinds of content that he's coming out with, but yeah. then sometimes he does shoot himself in the foot. That's why he's had like 15 Twitter accounts. So yeah, just rein it in. And you're my boy, Blue.
One of the cousins said, well, if he's not allowed to curse, Jay's not allowed to drink. Thoughts on that?
Well, I don't have any problems with cuss. It's the F one. The F one and the GD. I was just right. Like my mom, actually, my great great grandmother, Zona Beeler, most religious woman I ever met in my life, she had a quote that she says, everybody deserves a byword, right? And so you can have one. I don't care, but just don't make it F and don't make it GD. That's what I say.
Brodo says Shane talking Marler up because he knows he would whoop Marler's ass. Well, speaking of Brodo, shout out Brodo. He's got a great question here for you, yeah. Shane. At the end of the day, Shane should have made his Vandy bet this offseason, not last year. With that being said, will Shane make another walking bet, or is he too much of a scaredy cat? P.S. I tooted while I typed this.
What was the bet? It was four, right? Anything over four?
Yeah.
I'll go 3 miles for every win over four.
Wow, really?
Let's pause it for a second. Let me look here. One, two, three.
Well, I mean, we already got it on record.
Yeah. No. Can I go five?
No.
Four. Why you always do that? Because you're not walking. Yeah,
I'm walking with you.
All right, three forever over four. Mark it down, clip it. Remember this date. Okay. 26 minutes in.
I think you've already forgotten. They're over under.
What is it? Is it high?
6.5.
Ugh.
That's all why right. I didn't want you to amend it. But again, hey, you said it.
But I will say I'll start sooner this time. And I have to have it done before the basketball tournament.
Yeah, just not, even if it's like 10 miles, knock it out a quarter mile at a time.
Exactly. There was definitely a better way of tackling that obstacle. So
so I'm trying to think. If they go undefeated, which we know is not going to happen.
You're right. Not going to happen.
But if they go 12-0,
yes,
that would mean you would be walking 24 miles, right?
Yeah. That's like a marathon. How about we do that? If they go undefeated, we do a marathon in Nashville. I'm sure they have them.
Yeah, no, they certainly do. Yeah, we should try to get as many cousins to show up as possible.
A marathon is, if I'm not mistaken, 26.2. Because I remember doing 13, and I was like, 0.1 would have been half a marathon. So 26, yes. Let's do it.
How far is the pizza joint? And Brodo says if Vandy goes undefeated, he'll eat a Commodore shit. So there you go. I mean, you guys got a lot on the line here.
Yeah, me and Brodo are going to be walking together.
Well, I tell you what else you're going to need, Shane, if you really got to do all that.
What's that?
You're going to need a lot of alcohol.
Yes.
And then once you do, you're going to need to get you some Cheers, buddy. Go check them out. Proud sponsor of the show, Cheers. There's a link in the show notes to check them out. Cheershealth.com. That's the website. Promo code THATSEC, Shane, to get 20% off your entire order of Cheers. He said, "What is this Cheers? What is this Cheers, Shane?" All you do after your last drink or right before going to bed, you take you some Cheers, and they guarantee you, you're going to feel 50% better the next morning or your buddy back. How about that? You can't beat it, Shade. You can't get out of them walking miles, and you can't get out of not feeling better if you take your Cheers over at cheershealth.com. Again, 50% better, Shane. If you feel 49.99999% better, you get your money back. Yeah, how about that?
Absolutely. I mean, don't you want to feel good? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's the kicker here? You know, feeling good the next day or just being hungover? Yeah, check out Cheers. It's awesome.
Yeah, just take you one of these pills. It's after alcohol aid. Can't beat it. It's good for your liver. Go check it out. Maybe don't get shipped house like Shane said the last time, but Get a good buzz on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, get a good buzz.
I don't know if anything is going to save you if you get shit out. No. But you will feel better.
We will find out.
All right. How about this one, Shane? Another great question. This time from Carter B. Huff. Official cousin, we appreciate you, Carter.
Thank you, cuz.
I thought this was an interesting one. I'm very fascinated to hear your answer, Shane. Mm-hmm. He wants to know, what is one thing old Silver Fox at Arkansas can do this spring to make sure his first season is a success there in Fayetteville? Anything stand out to you, Shane? Anything Silverfield, one thing in particular that Silver Fox, Silverfield, Silver Ghost, whatever you want to call him, something he could do this spring to ensure that his first season is viewed as a success?
For me, man, it's win the games that you should, right? And catch two that you shouldn't.
But he's specifically asking anything this spring.
Oh, this spring development?
Yeah.
For me, it's just because I'm not saying Arkansas needs to be a developmental school, but we're definitely going to have some guys emerge here, and most likely going to be names that outside of Arkansas you're not familiar with. So for me, it's going to be, because it's your life in a fast lane, you're going to have to identify your playmakers. And ultimately, I think as some of the greatest coaches in this league right now, that's exactly what they do. They find the best athletes on their football field, and they make sure that they get the football. So that's, for me, that's what has to happen by week one.
Yeah, and I think this spring, I mean, it's a very difficult question to answer. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know that there's like some magic thing. Otherwise, everybody would be doing it, right? But the question again is, what does he got to do this spring to make this year successful? I think he really needs to build confidence. Mm-hmm. They need belief.
Yeah.
They need some swagger. Shane, it wasn't that long ago that Arkansas was whooping ass in this league. Arkansas is one of the tougher teams that was in this conference. And we have seen it. I mean, you listen to Ty, shout out Ty. It was a great interview, but Ty always gets us down every time when we're talking with him. I mean, I think that's permeating in the Arkansas football the fan base, the media. You know, it's just a little old Arkansas. But I know last year was a disaster, right? 2-10. Mm-hmm. You know, a field goal here, not turning the ball over there. Not throwing an interception here. I know we could if-and all these schedules, but we were a handful of plays from being 7-5.
Yeah.
You know, and how do you get there, Shane? You get there by having confidence, by having belief that when a game gets into a critical situation, that you're going to make the play. I feel like Arkansas the last couple of years is like, how are they going to screw this up? You know, even when they beat Tennessee, it was like, they ain't going to pull this off, are they? You know, that was like the one they pulled off in 3 years. They need some confidence that they can get that done. And one thing Ty did say, and it was true, I looked up all the statistics. Memphis was one of the best teams in the damn country year over year in turnover margin and fewest penalties. So that's one thing. If I'm an Arkansas fan, if we can translate that to Arkansas, we're not going to beat ourselves.
Right.
And a lot of teams beat themselves. And Arkansas is chief among them in recent years, beating themselves. Just don't beat yourself. Don't make the mistakes. And you'll steal a couple of games. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Stop beating yourself.
Beat some cheers. But that makes sense, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, I think that's step one. It's just having some swagger.
Swagger. And I like what you said, too. Maybe not. Don't give them the win, right? A lot of times you do something, and it's not just, I'm not just pinpointing Arkansas, but you can look at several football teams, and it just, they find a way to give it away. And if you do what you need to do and you take care of what you need to take care of, let the other team find a way to win. Just don't lose the game. So you got some tough ones. Look at the schedule, Mike. There's some tough games, but I do feel like in maybe my optimism world here that we could end that Tulsa game 3-1, right? And going into conference play, I'm feeling pretty good about those Arkansas Razorbacks at that point. Not that they're going to go to the playoffs or anything like that, but all of a sudden, if Silverfield can get them to a bowl game year one, that's momentum. That's what you got to get behind, because then you start saying, hey, wait till he gets his guys in here. Wait till he gets his recruits, his portal kids, you know, and builds what he needs. So, yeah, I feel like that's the big one. It's just don't get egg on your face. Don't lose any of those first two games, even though that Utah game's going to be tough.
Damn. I think Coach Freeze finally dragged me down. Hey, shout out to JD31 Sports. Shane, I like this question so much, I used it in the title. Again, his question.
Yeah.
Who gets fired first? Steve Sarkisian or Brent Venables?
Oh.
Those are the only options.
Sarkisian. Steve, if I had to pick one.
Why do you hate Texas?
I love Texas. But I feel like Venables getting to a playoff last year bought him some time. Yeah. And I feel like Steve Sarkisian's at the end of his rope as far as time. Everybody has, and myself included, has dubbed this the team to make the run, right? And if for some reason you fall short and do not hit a playoff spot, Texas is going to go out here and find somebody that can get them there.
Now,
and I'm not saying he gets fired this year. I'm not saying that.
What if Texas makes the playoff this year and Oklahoma doesn't? Would that change your answer?
But we could
look into the future for all these teams, but
right. I'm just saying more likely. I feel like Venables has a little bit more leeway now because of what he's done, coaches he's got, players he's got. There's so many great things going on in Oklahoma right now. And I'm not saying that Texas doesn't have it. It's time, right? We've made it to the dance a couple of times. We even made it to the SEC championship. But what trophy do we have in our case that shows we had a successful season? We don't have it. So I think Texas fans are like, hey, this is it. This is the final dance right here. If you can't win it with Arch, you know, I mean, just saying.
And Oklahoma, historically, they have a lot of patience.
Yeah.
They don't fire a lot of coaches. Now, that being said, Shane, they didn't have much expectations last year.
Right.
And the fastest way to be on a comfortable seat to a hot seat is to have, you know, everybody says we're going to playoff. And then we come back and we can go 7-5. And then it's like, shit, we got to get his ass out of here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if they lose to Michigan on the road, they lose to Georgia on the road, they lose to Texas again. I'm not saying they'll go 7-5, but I could see that, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
If I could guarantee you that, now again, that these are not guarantees, but if I could guarantee you they're losing at Michigan, they're losing at Georgia, they're losing to Texas, they'll probably, I think they are currently underdog in all those games, Shane.
Yes.
I don't think they're running the table if they, no, they could. We didn't think they were running the table last year either after they lost to Ole Miss, but they sure as hell did it. If we're 2-3, I don't think we're going 9-3, do you?
No, and it's how you lose, right? If you blame it on coaching, if there's coaching mistakes that are made or in your eyes you perceive. I mean, Mike, let's be real. If we would have had this mailbag question this time last year, this would have been the easiest layup that has ever been offered on this show. You know, the only reason that we've switched to Venables is because of success, and not just success of a program, but unsuspected success. The suspicion, inspection, Jesus Christ, why am I getting with big words? The Sarkisian effect is we're there. So those expectations, the standards are to win. And Venables didn't necessarily have that. They were happy to get to the dance. Now, that change is going into this season, right? You said if they go 7-5, if Oklahoma goes 7-5, no, we're putting Venables right back on that hot seat.
Now, we could spin it the other way too, Shane. Texas got Ohio State at home. You're going to be expected to win that game at Tennessee. You're going to be expected to win that game, but that's one of the most hostile environments in all of college football to play. Your fans at this point expect you to beat Oklahoma. Texas could be 2-3 after five. and then if they're 2-3, which again is highly, highly, highly unlikely. Maybe not that. I'll say it's very unlikely.
Yeah.
If they start 2-3,
mm-hmm.
does Sark even finish out the year?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't think they're gonna bail on him, but brother.
what if they finish 7-5?
What's crazy is you're looking at all these non-game SEC schedules. You're just like, I can be convinced that the wheels fall off, and I can be convinced they make a run. You know, it's like you're looking at this schedule saying, okay, Ohio State, Tennessee, Oklahoma, 2-3. Okay.
Consecutive SEC games.
Yeah. Then you jump into Florida. What if Florida's really good? What if Ole Miss is just as good as they were last year? What if Lebby, you know, finally, now he's got his quarterback, turns his program around and becomes dangerous. You know, Mizzou, we're counting out. LSU, Lane Kiffin, oh, woe is me. By God, he may have a playoff team he just doesn't want to talk about, you know? So, brother, anything could happen here, but don't ask any of them fans down there in Austin. There's only one place they're going to be at the end of this year, and that's at that national title.
Ooh, okay. Hey, shout out Surfer Dog, Shane, official cousin. We appreciate you. Surfer Dog, Charlie. Man, he's got an interesting question here, Shane.
Yeah.
I haven't backed up his I started to, and I was like, this is going to take forever. But according to Surfer Dog,
mm-hmm.
he said, I did some math. Which I wasn't going to ask you to do it. But he said, I consulted AI.
Yes.
And it is possible. Again, he's not saying this is likely, but he says it's possible that there could be as many as 12 teams, Shane, in the SEC that all go 9-3, which would be crazy, right? So 12 teams go 9-3. And he says the only way that happens, they got to win all their non-conference games, those 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other four in the SEC all go 0-9 in conference play. So it's very, very, very unlikely. But he says, in this incredibly unlikely scenario, who are you putting your money on to be the four that go 0-9 in SEC play?
The four, man, that's a lot. The four to go 0-9, I would say Arkansas. I would say, even though I just talked about all that optimism, Mississippi State, Kentucky. Vanderbilt.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. I figured he was going to say, I think the better question would be like, if there's 12 that are 9-3, who's getting in the playoff? That's what I thought he was going to say. But he just wanted to be like, who's the damn worst in this conference? That's what he asked us.
I am thinking if that's kind of where I thought it was going to go as well. So if those 12 those 12 ended 9-3, I don't think they all get in, obviously. It's impossible. So what if they did? What three would you leave out, you know?
Oh, there'd be a lot more than three left out. You're not putting 9 in there.
I know, but I can't go through all of them in my head. I think
only three would make it.
I think non-conference games, right? Because that's what's going to be a little bit of a deciding factor. So you look at LSU, got Clemson. South Carolina got Clemson. So those are going to be some good ones. Texas, Ohio State. Michigan, Oklahoma. That would probably be one. Who has Louisville? I don't know if you could give Louisville, but.
Ole Miss?
Yeah.
Louisville's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, that's a pretty good non-conference schedule. You know,
Tennessee's got Tech.
Oh yeah,
they were decent.
They'll be ranked by the time we beat them. So
A&M's got Arizona State. I don't know how good they'll be, but they were good 2 years ago. Made the playoff.
Yeah. What's Kentucky have? Nope, they're out. They got Louisville at the end, but by the
Florida's, end of our, Florida's got Florida State, of course.
Them Camels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bama's got Florida State as well. Florida yeah. State's just racking up L's over here.
Yeah.
Auburn's got Baylor.
Oh, that may be one, right? Because then you go mm-hmm. you go strength of schedule, and I don't know. That's too much. I'm going to have to get ChatGPT involved as
the
well.
The math ain't mathing. You know what?
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds a little much. Those are the way – that's the way I'd look at it is who's preseason ranked. You're going to look at that because they didn't have to fall as far. And who has the toughest out-of-conference opponents. And I think we've pretty much nailed those.
Mm-hmm. All right. Another good one, Shane.
I'll
shout out cousin Christopher Frieden. Hopefully yep. I didn't butcher that. He says, everything I hear out of A&M camp, we're going up-tempo on offense. He calls it bang and tang.
Bang and tang, all right.
Which is pretty awesome. Coach Elko loves his defense, so for him to allow this means he believes the offense is going to put up some points. And he can tee up the defense to get turnovers and stops. What do you think about this strategy for Texas A&M?
If A&M wants to win at all, they have to be up-tempo. Have to. I mean, I look back, especially with what Marcel Reed, when he's playing his best, it's up-tempo. And it felt like we kind of pulled him back a little bit, expected too much. And then, you know, that adds a lot of pressure to quarterback when you're like, okay, now we need you to go out here and make this throw. So that up-tempo kind of takes some of that decision-making out of it. And, I think A&M, a team that I'm down on, could be right there in the mix if they could perfect that. The bang and tang.
And, you know, that's kind of where the game of football is now, right?
Yeah, yes.
You're just not going to win these 17 to 10 games anymore. And you may occasionally.
Yeah.
But you're gonna win the SEC by, you know, giving up 10 points per game? No, I don't think so. You know what I mean?
I feel like you can if you've got, like you said, a really, really good defense and a really good running game, you know, offensive line, running backs, you know. I feel like that's what you have to kind of slow things down. Because as soon as you go three and out, and that's the bad thing about going fast, you go three and out more often than not. If that happens and you don't have that defense to rely on, things could get pretty ugly.
Mm-hmm. Their new coordinator, Holloman and Wiggins.
Yeah.
We have questions. You know, is that a good hire? I don't know. We literally won't know till the season comes around. But he's got a outstanding track record of coaching receivers. They've been awesome at A&M.
Mm-hmm.
He was at Bama when they were, I believe it was like the COVID year, you know, when they had just had all these dynamic receivers. He was there. So he clearly knows what he's doing with the passing game. So maybe this fits his strength, but I think you hit on something very, very important there. It's just, it's kind of suits Marcel.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think, Shane, this, fair or not, I don't know, but we have seen where if you go tempo,
yeah,
what does that potentially cover for? It covers for the offensive line.
Yeah.
You don't need you need a good offensive line. But Tennessee, Ole Miss, these teams, they've had good offensive linemen. And again, you need them, but the pace of play, it wears down the defense. It seems to, in my mind, it really aids the offensive line more than anything. Mm-hmm. And when we're replacing four starters up front, I'm sure Coach Elko's looking at that too, right? We're like, we may not be dominant up front on the offensive line this year. Why not do everything we can to give those guys any kind of example or edge we can?
Yeah. Well, and I think too, turning on the tape, when you have A&M back against the wall at, you know, at Notre Dame, what won the game? Up-tempo. You know, you look at Miami, a team that just, I mean, it was a sloppy, ugly game, but when we turned it on, we saw success. South Carolina, you're down five scores. You open it up. Guess what? We have success. I mean, Mike Elko is one of the smartest people in the world. It doesn't take a dummy to realize that, hey, maybe we should do this, you know? And, yeah, Klein's out. We've turned it over. This guy wants to be a little bit different. So how do you be different? Well, you keep that up-tempo going.
And, you know, another, speaking of Coach Elko, you know what he really loves? And he's got this in common with you.
Barbecue.
Well, I'm sure that is, that's true as well. But the exotic pressures.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I say that. But again, that goes back to the question, right, from Christopher. Yes. Where Elko, can he get the stops? Can he get the turnovers? He gives them that exotic looks. He gives them things they've not seen.
Yeah.
He's like a mastermind at that. And again, I just don't think it's realistic to ask your defense in today's game with you just don't have the depth. You don't have the overall talent. You're not going to be holding opponents to 10, 14 points.
Right.
But if you could turn them over a time or two and you can score like crazy, that's the path to winning at a high level, I feel like.
Yeah. And I feel like a balance too, right? Maybe to come out here and say you add up tempo, but also have the ability to just, you know, get between the tackles. You know, I feel like Elko definitely wants to keep that in check. He's not going to go five wide every time, but I think a good balance could be a surprise and exactly what they need down there in College Station.
Oh, you know, ACB. What is not a surprise, Shane?
What's that?
ACB.
Oh, thank gifted. You, Cuz.
Sooner fan 4439, and then Jared comes through with the donations as well. Shout out Jared, we appreciate you, buddy. He gifted Daniel Longoria. So Daniel and Sooner fan,
that was my nickname in high school. Welcome to the family.
And ACP said gifting another broke Sooner fan.
Shane Longoria.
And then last one here, a food question.
No, shocker.
I think Cousin Trey's, he's busy doing taxes.
Is he a tax guy?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. So, not from him, but Cousin Derek, who's in here all the time. Cousin Shane, favorite food, Mexican or hibachi, or if you had to pick one.
Damn, two of my favorite right there. But for me, it's no doubt Mexican. In fact, went to the El Chorito today. And one thing I like about Mexican is that there's different options. You know, I can go the chicken fajita route. I can go a tamale route. We can mix it up, do burritos. There's just so much. Healthy people can do salads. But hibachi is hibachi, you know. Other than sushi rolls, it doesn't get any, like, it is what it is. So I feel like I would get tired of it if that's all I had. And, but I do love hibachi. Shout out to Little Tokyo and Pigeon Forge. That's fantastic.
Well, I would disagree with you, Shane.
Oh, of course. Why not?
Because I heard someone talking about this the other day, and I was like, he's right. Mexican food is pretty much all the damn same.
Yeah.
It's meat and, like, some form of tortilla.
Yeah.
So,
not necessarily.
I don't think it's, you're like, you can get anything. It's like, you get a taco, burrito, chalupa. Yeah. I mean, it's all the same damn thing, but it's just slightly different prepared.
Yeah, maybe it's just, I love it. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I love it so much. I mean, could eat it.
Don't you think?
Day.
Like, is a burrito? It's like a giant taco.
Well, like, I could go to El Torito every day and, because I do mix up the menu items that I get. So I go to Little Tokyo, I'm getting the same thing every single time. And there's nothing else. I could get shrimp or I could get chicken. I could get whatever, but it's still going to come with rice. It's still going to come with a salad with ginger and a, you know, onion soup and then a potential sushi roll. But yeah, it's the same. It's same. So I can't say that's, I can't say I could do that every day. I can do L every day.
Well, you know, apparently who can do it every
day? Roll Tide!
For them boys in Tuscaloosa, it's Stephen Up. Roll Tide!
Shout out, Stephen Up! A little something for my favorite podcast.
Thank you, cuz.
Sorry, but I have to pay taxes on memberships. Appreciate you, Stephen Up.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, hey, so that's all I got. That's all the questions we had.
Yeah.
Unless anyone wants to get in here on the buzzer. P5, yeah. I think she said she had one, but I haven't seen it. Maybe she wants to type it in here real quick.
We got 5 minutes. Better get it in. We got college basketball tonight. Looking forward to that. I think it's on right now. So we're going to check out the tournament. A little shout out. Don't forget, we had the legend Josh Payton studio. That video has posted, so be sure to get over there and check it out. I thought we had a great time. Be sure to give that a thumbs up. But thank you again. Had a lot of people reach out after that one saying they really enjoy it. They, you know, Dari, too. I re-listened to the Dari one. Fantastic interview. So there's several of those that have posted. And you got a road trip coming up this weekend or something, throw one of those guys on. Have a little trouble sleeping, throw one of Shane's on. Throw a tie on, you know, if you haven't. No, I'm just kidding. I give a tie a hard time.
Hey, yeah, watch them multiple times. It helps us.
Absolutely. Yeah, watch it as many times as you want.
All right, so hey, if you guys could give me about 5 minutes,
yeah,
I'm gonna hop back on Cousin Only call-in show for the first time. So I'm gonna give it a shot. We'll see how it goes. Might be horrible. Might not work. No guarantees. I mean, again, this is the off season, so we're trying different things. But all the official cousins, just stay locked in here. Again, I just need a couple minutes to get this set up and fire it up. But yeah, the only cousins. Maybe that's what we're The Only Cousins call-in show, first time. So, again, just give me a couple minutes to set it up, and then I'll get that fired up. Anything else, buddy, before we end this one?
No, that's it, man. Only Cousins. I love it. That's it. That's the title.
All right. See
you. See you guys. Bye-bye. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.